The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Now he runs a program that provides high-risk men with cognitive behavioral therapy to help them react to the impulses by slowing down rather than following through on the violence. It puts them in paid jobs to change their trajectory. The program has reduced shootings by 40%. Police Chief Murray of the Baltimore, Police Chief Mary. Police Chief Murphy, Paul, of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. No one needs to have a weapon that can fire over 30, 40, 50, even up to 100 rounds. Unless you think the deer wearing Kevlar vests.
There's the fake president. He's had some off days for sure, but yesterday, and for a subject so important, a subject on the minds of millions of Americans, the wave of crime, the skyrocketing crime statistics that we've seen this year, all through last year, and he can barely get through the speech in a manner that's coherent and clear. I think the headline from the New York Post, the editorial board there, is no one going to mention how confusing and out of it Biden was? They're still giving him cover in the propaganda media. But there's a few. The New York Post is one. The Daily Mail over in the UK. A few of the talking heads on Fox News or talk radio. But outside of that, I guess they just, the propagandists in the media, they just keep playing along. Well, he's just the puppet, as we've said so many times before. And the puppet master behind him is Barack Obama. But this is a man who's obviously in sharp decline. Even as we see so many problems, we see our nation being besieged by problems. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We come to you live every day through our broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on their network. And, of course, we broadcast the live video stream every day at our website, thetrumpet.com/live. You can send us your feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. And, of course, you can also call our operators for any of the literature that we might reference on the program. And all that we offer on this show is offered without cost or obligation. The number is 1-866-930-3024. So this New York Post piece, I should mention, by the way, the Celtic Throne performance tonight in Memphis, Tennessee, Monday in Little Rock, Arkansas. So if you live anywhere in western Tennessee or the surrounding states, and if you live in the Arkansas area, make sure that you go to CelticThrone.com. You've heard the montages, many of you. You've heard yourself the reaction that people have coming away from a performance of Celtic Throne. So make sure, if you haven't seen it live, you might have seen the video stream, but if you have an opportunity to see it live, definitely take advantage of that. That's tonight in Memphis, and then Monday night in Little Rock, Arkansas. So this New York Post piece, the editorial board, just commenting on what Biden said, his delivery more than anything, and how confusing it was. It says, Biden was obviously tired, speaking in barely a monotone. He couldn't pronounce cognitive. The media would pick apart every appearance of President Donald Trump, saying, even in news stories, that he was manic, exhausted, or some other adjective. I mean, just over and again. Think about when he walked slowly down that ramp after a speech when it was drizzling, raining outside and slippery. And they thought, oh, he's out of it. He's going to keel over. But with this man, again, they give him just glowing reviews, everything that he does and says. And as I say, the content of what he had to say, what you could understand anyway, it was pretty significant. Here we have this wave of crime. And so what do the radicals now in control, what do they, how do they respond to these skyrocketing rates of crime? Besides, I mean, blaming Donald Trump, there's those like Joy Behar. She was on the horn yesterday saying it's all Trump's fault. But here come these communist revolutionaries blaming it on guns. Blaming it not even on guns in big cities, but evidently the guns are coming from outside the big cities. The rural areas where it's, I guess, easier to get guns. That's how he explained it yesterday. They say nothing about the lawlessness, about the space that they gave the criminals to destroy last summer. They say nothing about the movement to defund the police. If they go back to last year, you'll hear it from the police chief in Los Angeles here in just a moment. Blaming it on COVID-19. Well, it's understandable, say the talking heads. It's understandable that crime rates skyrocketed. Everybody's been in lockdown mode for a year. So they're antsy. They're itching to commit crime. No, in fact, it was those summer riots last year and the fact that law enforcement stood aside and did nothing. And so now it's the criminals running the streets. And what does the Biden administration want to do in response? Take away guns from you, the law-abiding citizen. Well, back to his cognitive decline. It says, yet a protective circle has formed around Biden, preventing them from stating the obvious. Joe Biden, 78, looked out of it. They won't even state the obvious, this protective circle. And this is why his handlers rush him out of the room. This is why his handlers don't let him answer questions. This is why his handlers say, just take a question from this guy, and this guy, and that's it. And he's got his card inside of his jacket. Take a question from so-and-so. They know it. You know it. The media, they know what's going on. But they still provide this protective circle. Maybe Biden was having an off day, says the New York Post, but he's had a number of them. So what about this? He's, what, 5 months into this illegitimate presidency? This is a real problem. What did Vladimir Putin and President Xi think of Biden's speech yesterday? What were they thinking? This is bad for America. It's deadly serious as well. It's not a joke. It's not a laughing matter. It says, and his team keeps hustling him off stage as the media shouts after him, making you wonder why they keep preventing him from answering questions. So there's that. But then there's also this radical communist agenda. Listen to Biden again from yesterday. This is clip 7.
Now the gun lobby wants you to believe that cities that are the toughest gun had the toughest gun laws still have the highest rates of gun violence, as was pointed out by the group we had today in our roundtable. The violence is so they argue, why do you need those gun laws if they don't work in cities that have tough laws? Don't believe it. Here's the truth. Today's conversation with Mayor Scott of Baltimore, for example, echoed what we know to be the case and hear from mayors all across the country. Mayors have the power to help shape and enforce the laws in their cities, but they can't control the laws in neighboring cities and states, even though the gun legally bought there as often ends up in their streets.
So here are these left-wing leaders of these major cities in the United States. They're taking no blame themselves for what's happening in their cities. And then there's the Fed saying, look, it's not the big cities. It's not the fact that there's strict gun laws in Washington, D.C. and New York and crime is skyrocketing anyway. The reason for that, says Joe Biden, is because they're leaving New York. They're leaving D.C. They're going out into the rural states, the rural areas and buying weapons and then bringing them back to the cities. So we've got to go out into those rural areas and confiscate all of these weapons, these firearms. They won't even look at themselves. They've been in charge of these cities for decades. And their cities are falling apart. Their cities went up in flames last summer. In the case of Minneapolis, a police precinct went up in flames. And the police were nowhere to be found. They just let it happen. And then they want to blame all of this, not on their radical policies, not on the radical movement to defund the police, to say that the problem in our cities is the police. They blame all of this on the firearm, all of this on the gun, not the people, not the policies. Blame the guns. Listen to the mayor of Chicago yesterday talking about how things are great in Chicago. Clip 8.
We are seeing a downward trajectory where other cities are continuing to see a climb.
We're seeing a downward trajectory, she says. She lies. She lies. There, something like 70 people in Chicago have gotten shot in the last week, just in the last few days. And she's there saying, hey, we're heading in the right direction. Everything's great. She's part of the problem. She's blaming the police. She won't even give interviews to white journalists. This is a racist running the city of Chicago and pretending that everything, even as the building's going up in flames behind her, pretending that everything is totally safe and totally secure. Chicago, they're not even halfway through this calendar year. 334 homicides. 334 homicides in one city. I think it was Senator Kennedy on one of the cable shows last night saying that it's safer in cities like Mogadishu than it is in Chicago or New York or D.C. or Baltimore. What is happening to the United States of America? We're seeing all of our society unravel. And then the leadership, just as it's described in Isaiah 3, getting up in front of the camera and saying, hey, it's perfect. It's perfect. A lot of people in America know better. I saw a segment the other day, I believe on Fox, where this restaurant owner, not that far away from the trendiest tourist site in Chicago, the Magnificent Mile, I think it's called. And anyway, his restaurant used to be open for up until midnight, but he's closing it down at 10 because it's just too dangerous. People don't want to go to the restaurant late anymore because the thugs are running the show. The thugs are taking to the streets. The thugs control the cities. At least they do at nighttime. And why? Well, because gun laws aren't strict enough throughout the United States. They say this even as they reduce their law enforcement. They downsize. They defund. Chicago's at 334 homicides. Last year it was 774, so they're on pace. They're not that far behind. Maybe that's what she's talking about. Well, I mean, last year it was 774 homicides. This year it's only 334. Last year was 50% higher than the year before. I mean, it's just skyrocketed. And that's not even the worst. New York City reported 634 shootings this year as of June 13th. Compared to 386 in the same time period last year. So crime in New York and Los Angeles has effectively doubled. Doubled when you compare the first 6 months this year to last year. In Los Angeles, 626 people shot through June 12 compared to 397 during the same time frame last year. It's happening all over the country. If it's a big city, there's some crime going down. Every night, homicides, robberies, rapes. Rape is skyrocketing as well. Now, handguns aren't causing that. What is happening? It's frightening if you didn't know the truth. As I said yesterday, if you're not setting your affection on the things above, there is no hope for this world. The course that it's on, if you can't see that this world is about to explode, then your head is firmly buried in the sand. Here's the L.A. Police chief. He's talking to, I think, someone on MSNBC. And she's paraphrasing or quoting something that he said. And then listen to his response. And, I mean, he's aware of crime statistics skyrocketing. And he made this statement that, you know, it's like we've lost 10 years of progress. But then when you get to root causes, they both talk about COVID. They blame it all on COVID. This is clip 9.
Of course the numbers are up. Things were completely shut down last year. But you said that the city of Los Angeles has lost a decade of progress in beating back crime. Why is that?
We've seen every part of society broken down, disengaged, isolated. And what we see from that is the results not only here in Los Angeles, but across the country. What we need to do moving forward is remember what works. The strategies that have proven effective. Just a year and a half ago, this city hailed a 10th year of crime reduction, fewer than 300 homicides over the course of the year, and record low, just going back to the 60s, to find the level of crime and violence that we experienced.
10 years, record lows before last year. And there's the commentator saying, of course, there's been crime. Everything was completely shut down. Well, as I recall, the protesting and rioting wasn't shut down. That went on for months. The mayor of D.C., by the way, in testimony this week, she said, well, you know, there was one day of rioting. No. Weeks. The rioting leading up to them having to put the president of the United States in the White House bunker. That went on for 4 days. And we've learned more of the truth about that threat. And, of course, all of those rioters just slapped on the wrist. None of them still in jail, I'm sure. And all of these officials, all of these authorities that allow the left-wing violence, the communist violence, they encourage that to go on. And then they're going after Trump supporters, and of course, they've got to go after the guns. They've got to go after the gun. They've got to go after the Second Amendment. Listen to what Joe Biden said again yesterday, clip 1.
The Second Amendment, from the day it was passed, limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Those who say the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the tree of liberty is not water with the blood of patriots. What's happened is that there have never been, if you wanted to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons.
So it's not entirely clear what he's trying to say there. A lot of commentators have picked it apart. But the Second Amendment, just to quote that, it says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, it says, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This is necessary to the security of a free state. If we're going to enjoy the freedoms there in the First Amendment, the founders said you better have the Second Amendment too. But there's the illegitimate president saying that, look, if you think that firearms are there to protect you from a tyrannical state, well, listen, the tyrannical state, I mean, conceivably it would have the power of F-16s and nuclear weapons. So why do you need your guns? Well, you should tell that to some of the wars that the United States has been engaged in for decades in the Middle East. Why did it go on and on and on in Afghanistan? They didn't have nukes either. As far as I know, they had a few rifles and a Toyota Tundra. And they kept going on for years resisting suicide belts, things of that nature. Explosive devices that would take out Jeeps and such. And they were able to fight mighty America. They did it for decades. Still, they're still doing it. So he's going after ordinary Americans, not the enemies abroad. He's going after the Second Amendment. Then he says to you, look, you don't need, it's not going to protect you anyway if there ever was a conflict with the government, because the government has nuclear weapons. What about the Second Amendment? What about the Constitution? What about the law of the land? He also tweeted out, or someone for him, Joe Biden, he said, to combat gun violence and violent crime, we're going to, number one, stem the flow of firearms. So this is objective number one, to combat gun violence and violent crime. We've got to go after the guns, not the criminals. No, no. We defend the criminals. We give space to the criminals. We've got to go after the guns. Thomas Jefferson, listen to what he wrote in 1823. It says, on every occasion of constitutional interpretation, let us carry ourselves back to the time when the Constitution was adopted. Recollect the spirit manifested in the debates, and instead of trying to force what meaning may be squeezed out of the text or invented against it, instead let us confirm to the probable one in which it was passed. I mean, let's just take it for what it says. George Washington said a free people ought not only to be armed, but disciplined. Thomas Jefferson also said, this was back in 1776, no free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms. That's pretty clear. That's very clear. Listen again to what he said to James Madison, Thomas Jefferson. He said, I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery. Then again, Jefferson said in 1776, the laws that forbid the carrying of arms are laws of such a nature. They disarm only those who are neither inclined nor determined to commit crimes. Such laws make things worse for the assaulted and better for the assailants. They serve rather to encourage than to prevent homicides, for an unarmed man may be attacked with greater confidence than an armed man. So it's not only to protect you from a tyrannical state, but to protect you from a deranged lunatic. And there's more and more of them. If you haven't noticed, you drive through even nice, you know, suburbs like Edmond. I drove by someone sitting on a curb just yesterday, having a really intense conversation with no one. There's people like this all over the place. And Satan and his demons have been cast down to this earth. Now, I'm not saying that a gun's going to protect, you know, a servant of God. God protects servants of God. But people that don't know God, people that don't put their hope, their faith, their affection on the things above, the Second Amendment is about all that they have, at least here in the United States. My father wrote this in 2018. He said, the mindset behind the radical Democrats is exposed when you look at their handling of another issue, gun control. Every time there's a school shooting, even before any facts about the situation come out, they immediately begin pushing for gun bans. And the most recent shooting, they funded student groups and encouraged students to revolt against authorities. They don't just want to raise the buying age or to restrict the sale of a few types of guns. They want to eliminate all guns. And that's really what he was saying yesterday. If you can make sense of it, he's saying, why do you need guns if we, the government, have nukes and F-16s anyway? That's not going to defend you against a nuke. It gets to the heart of what they really want, and that's a nationwide confiscation. They want to eliminate all guns. They hate the Second Amendment. and want to destroy the Constitution. They want a revolution. Their aggressive attack on the rule of law is chopping at the pillars of our nations. That's from my father's article back in May of 2018 at the Trumpet. You can subscribe for free. Get a one-year subscription, 1-866-930-3024. You can write us, td@thetrumpet.com. This is what my father said in America Under Attack. The radical left wants to take away people's guns, at least the guns of law-abiding people. The criminals are not about to give up their guns. They want to take away the guns of law-abiding people because this is what the fake head of the DOJ, this is what the fake president, this is what they see ordinary law-abiding citizens as the real threat. They're the white supremacists, remember? The ones that stormed the Capitol, the armed insurrection. So they're going after them. And the criminals, meanwhile, the ones actually raping, murdering, robbing, and so on, they're given space to destroy. It says here, that isn't reason for, well, backing up. The Second Amendment in the U.S. protects the people's right to bear arms. But for what? If you listen to the left, you would never know. To hear them talk about it, its purpose is so Americans can go out and shoot deer. That isn't the reason for the Second Amendment at all. The main point was to protect the citizens from government tyranny. It's right there in the Second Amendment. Thomas Jefferson said it. George Washington said it. But they hate it because they see it as a threat to their tyrannical aims. They want control of everything. They want control, absolute authoritarian control. It says here, do you remember how we gained our freedoms? This is my father from America Under Attack. A lot of people bled and a lot of people died to give us the freedoms we have today. And they wouldn't have gotten it without guns unless God just gave it to them. It says here, I wonder how many Americans even know that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. It is similar to how the Ten Commandments is the supreme law of God's church and the foundation of the entire Bible. It works beautifully if you just apply it. You see, if you just stick to the law of God, or in the case of the nation, if you just stick to the constitution of the nation, then you're on solid ground. But that's not the way the leaders in this illegitimate presidency, this illegitimate administration, that's not the way that they think. Listen to the Joint Chiefs Chairman, Milley, I guess is how you say his name. Listen to his testimony from yesterday, clip two.
On the issue of critical race theory, et cetera, I'll obviously have to get much smarter on whatever the theory is. But I do think it's important, actually, for those of us in uniform to be open-minded and be widely read. And the United States Military Academy is a university. And it is important that we train and we understand. And I want to understand white rage. And I'm white. And I want to understand it. So what is it that caused thousands of people to assault this building and try to overturn the Constitution of the United States of America?
I mean, that's the man that heads up the military of the United States of America. And he's trying to, he wants to bring critical race theory, the theory that all whites are systemically racist. And he wants to understand white rage. I mean, what's the purpose of the military? It's to defend the United States of America. But to him, it's much more than that. We've got to get critical race theory into our military academies. We've got to make sure that our military institutions are woke. And this is terrifying. When you just hear the words of out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. They're not even trying to conceal it anymore. It's just out there in your face. And look at the reaction, by the way, of Matt Gaetz at the end of this next clip. I mean, it just makes you shake your head. this kind of nonsense coming from these kinds of higher-ups right at the top of the Pentagon. This is clip three.
I've read Mao Zedong. I've read Karl Marx. I've read Lenin. That doesn't make me a communist. So what is wrong with understanding, having some situational understanding about the country for which we are here to defend? And I personally find it offensive that we are accusing the United States military, our general officers, our commissioned, non-commissioned officers of being, quote, woke or something else because we're studying some theories that are out there.
Yeah, I'm with Matt Gaetz. Unbelievable. Here they are bragging about studying Karl Marx. Well, we've got to be educated, they say. And just because I read and study Mao and Marx and all of these communist dictators doesn't mean I'm a communist. No, you are. Let's be honest. That's what you are. That's the way you think. Look at the policies. Look at the Marxist ideology. Look at what you're bringing into West Point and other military academies. Total surrender to the communist infiltration. And, well, I've given you all kinds of quotes from my father on that before. I won't take up more time with that, but I'll refer you to he was right. He was right. There's an entire chapter in here on the communist infiltration of the United States of America. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can write us td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
Do you believe the United States of America has been mainly a positive force in the world for most of its history? Do you believe that America was at one time a great nation? The United States of America was founded on many biblical principles that were incorporated into the Constitution. This lent to its success and positive influence in the world. But the America of then is not the America of today. To anyone examining the current state of America, this should be alarming. It has been a great nation in time past and is experiencing a temporary resurgence in these end times, but it will only be exactly that, temporary. Our free booklet, Great Again, will explain America's status. It will prove that God has been intimately involved in the rise and resurgence of America under President Donald Trump. It will also explain why God is saving America temporarily, how he was doing it, and what is yet to come in America. There is a spiritual dimension to America's rise and decline as a superpower. This free booklet will explain this dimension and how God will soon make America truly great again. Request your free copy of our book, Great Again, at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Before the break, I gave you that quote from my father in America Under Attack about the Constitution, the supreme law of the land, and how that we need to get back to that as a nation if we're going to survive for much longer. With respect to God's family, God's church, of course, it's the Ten Commandments, the law of God. Setting our minds, our hearts, our affection, as Colossians 3 says, on the things above, on godly things, not earthly things. That's quite an education. It's involved. It's comprehensive. It's a lifelong work, this process of conversion, this process, God reproducing himself, building his character, instilling his nature, his character in us. My father says this, I've quoted from this a couple times this week, this article in the latest Royal Vision. We must be educated, he says. We're receiving the knowledge, but we must take it and apply it to our lives, or it has no value. This is what God is telling us. How much do you love God's truth? Do you look to its resplendent maker? That revelation comes from the Holy of Holies in the third heaven. It's from the omnipotent God for this church. What good news. What a wonderful vision. At times it ought to bring tears to your eyes. This vision, this hope, this future that we have with God, this future that we have in God's kingdom. We've got to be educated according to God's teachings, according to His truth, according to His laws. We've got to come under His government. This middle section of Colossians 3, I was going through it yesterday, where it says to put away all of this evil and filthy communication and lawlessness. And above all things, verse 14, above all these things, put on charity, put on God's love, which is the bond of perfectness. Put on the love of God, says Paul. God communicating through His servant. Valuable instruction, to be sure. Verse 15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. It's an interesting way of putting it. Let the peace of God rule you. Come underneath God's rule. Come underneath God's government. Let God and His way of life, let God and His laws guide you. Don't just be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, as it says in Ephesians 4. Don't just do what seems right in your own eyes, Proverbs 14, 12. Judges 21, 25. Let God rule. Let God guide. Let God direct your steps. Use the Bible as the lamp that it is. Verse 16, it says, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the eternal. Just fill up on the word of God. Let God's word in. Let it fill your life. Use the Bible as the sword that it is. Use it as a weapon. Use God's love as a weapon. Ephesians 5:19 also talks about speaking in psalms and hymns. I mean, just filling up on godly music even. There is so much filth and rottenness in every sector of society. Entertainment, music. That's why we promote Celtic Throne as much as we do, because it's godly music. It's uplifting. It's wholesome. It's inspiring. Quite unlike the other forms of entertainment that you see in this world. There's a few exceptions here and there. But you know what it's like when you turn on the radio or you turn on the television. Satan's just coming at our young people and us as adults from every direction. Verse 17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the eternal Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I mean, whatever you're doing, do it in the name of God. Whatever your hand finds to do, as it says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, do it with your might. I mean, really serve God with energy. Serve God with enthusiasm. Be motivated. Be fired up for God. People get fired up for evil, so much so that they go out and destroy. And law enforcement, they're nowhere to be found. And now here comes this administration wanting to take guns from law-abiding citizens. It's like it goes from bad to worse in every case. We've seen it with COVID. We've seen it with the way that the election, January 6th, all these lies. And then to deal with January 6th, they put grandmama in jail. That's everything they do is just the opposite of what should be done. So, okay, go find the instigators. Go find the ringleaders. There's probably about 10 or 15 of them. And just be prepared, because most of them are probably Antifa or FBI. That's January 6th. And then here comes these exploding crime statistics. And what do they do? They don't go after the criminals. They go after people that are afraid that they're going to be robbed or raped or murdered by a criminal. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. He continues, and listen, there's instruction here for everyone. Wives, verse 18, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the eternal. This is a parallel, this section, to Ephesians 5 and 6. Submit yourselves to your husbands. I mean, really support and compliment your husband as he endeavors to lead in love. Fulfill your God-given role. Embrace that God-given role. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Lead in love, husbands. Be a strong leader. Now, that's difficult in an age like today when there's a conspiracy against husbands and fathers. There's a conspiracy against the family. God is a family. The family is the building block of any strong and stable society, as Herbert Armstrong so often said. So this is why it comes under assault. This is why it's under attack constantly from the devil. He hates family. He hates marriage and family. He hates roles, the God-given roles. Mr. Armstrong said this in Missing Dimension. So the family relationship, both on the divine plane and in the human type now, is a love relationship. And God implants within his begotten children his divine love to equip them for that divine love relationship. It's a love relationship. No one's talking about the husband being overbearing or domineering. But as Herbert Armstrong used to say, I didn't domineer over my wife. She wouldn't have put up with it. But I was the dominant one in the relationship. I was the leader, in other words. And Loma Armstrong complimented Mr. Armstrong's work and ministry for 50 years. It was a beautiful thing, a beautiful relationship, a wonderful example. Children, verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things. Wow, I mean, that's quite an admonition. You mean children should be taught to obey and to honor their parents, just like it says in the fifth commandment? That's right. That's right. If they learn this in the home, they're not going to take to the streets and burn down Target and Walmart. It says, for this is well-pleasing unto the eternal. This pleases God. When you see young people obeying and honoring their parents, and when you see parents administering God's family government, this pleases God. This represents strength and stability. This is all founded on a foundation of love. God, family, love. Like we read in that quote, it's a love relationship. Verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Don't provoke your children to wrath, as it says in Ephesians 4. Don't be overbearing. Don't suppress their personality development or anything like that. But at the same time, you certainly want to confront that rebellious spirit. If children are disobeying, it says, children, obey your parents in all things. So what do you do as a parent if they disobey? Well, there needs to be discipline. We've got a whole booklet on that. Child rearing with vision. You can call our operators today if you would like to request a free copy, 1-866-930-3024. It's a pretty big book, actually. Child Rearing with Vision. Verse 22, it says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Servants, obey your masters? Surely that needs to be blotted out, that verse. I mean, we got to get a little critical race theory in there. Don't we need to tell them about Juneteenth? Slavery, slavery, slavery. Racism, racism, racism. God says if you're in a position where you're being ruled by a master, learn the principle. At the very least, learn the principle of God's government. Look at the Apostle Paul. He was incarcerated. Look at Joseph in the book of Genesis. Thrust into prison for something he didn't do. And God blessed him when he was in jail. God blessed the Apostle Paul. I mean, there's certainly cases where you can stand up for yourself and for your rights. We did that when we fought for Mystery of the Ages in court. We took it to court and we looked at the laws of the land and we fought for the truth. But here again, children, obey parents. Husbands, wives, fulfill your roles. And if you're in the role of a servant, a lowly servant, it says, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in the singleness of heart, fearing God. Learn to fear and obey God in whatever relationship or arrangement you're in. And if you do, you'll be blessed. You will be blessed. Verse 23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the eternal and not unto men. I mean, do it like you're serving and obeying God. And do it with your whole heart. Like I said, Ecclesiastes 9:10. Do it with all your might. Be happy serving God. Be content submitting to God's laws. Here's where you have that inner peace and contentment. It comes from obeying God. Verse 24 says, knowing that of the eternal you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. See, just know. Was Joseph rewarded in the end? He could have gone into prison and said, well, I didn't deserve this. I've had it with God. He's not listening to my prayers. He's not answering my prayers. He didn't do that. He was thrust in prison and his relationship with God strengthened. Same with the Apostle Paul. Just know that knowing that of the eternal you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, God will reward us in the end. See, the whole point of the chapter, we saw that at the outset, set your affection not on things of the earth, but on things above. Don't think about the earthly reward, the earthly payoff that might or might not be there. Think about your reward in God's kingdom. Think about your reward in God's family. It says in verse 25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. See, if we're living a disobedient lifestyle, if we're disobeying or dishonoring God, we will reap what we sow. What we're seeing, everything I talked about in the first segment, what we're seeing in the streets of America today and really all over the world, it's a result of lawlessness, disobedience. Wouldn't it be refreshing if you had a leader in any nation come up to the microphone and say, you know what? We've got out of control crime in our big cities because we've come to tolerate lawlessness. We've turned a blind eye to lawlessness. And it's got to stop. And it's going to stop right here, right now. And if we're going to go after any guns, we're going to go after the criminals wielding guns in the streets of Chicago, in the streets of New York, in the streets of Los Angeles. You don't hear that, though, do you? Because we've become so lawless, top to bottom, sick, sickness from head to toe. It's right there in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1 of chapter 4 here in Colossians. It says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." So if you're over the servant or the slave, be just, be fair, be honest. Now, we're all slaves of Christ, right? We all want to come into this master-slave relationship if we're true Christians. And yet, look at our master, our head, our husband, Jesus Christ. He just wants to give everything over to us. He wants to give us, ultimately, he wants to give us the universe. If you're a master, obey the commandments of God. Lead in love. Give to your servants that which is just and equal. And then verse 2, it says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open up unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." Paul wrote this while he was in jail. What a positive, uplifting letter to write while you're incarcerated. Keep praying for us. Pray that God would open up a door of utterance. You would think he'd say, pray that God would open up the door of this jail cell. I mean, God had done that before. He did it in Philippi. You can read about that in Acts 16. But Paul said, look, pray for us that the message would be free, that the message would get out as far as it can go, a door of utterance, that I'd be able to speak the mystery of Christ. That got him put in jail, speaking that mystery. And yet the message continued to go out. Verse 4, he says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. I may pray that I would even bring clarity and depth and power to this message. Pray that it's presented the right way. That's pretty detailed admonition, telling God's people, look, I'm in the ministry. I'm responsible for declaring the mystery. Pray that I might make it clear. That's the Revised Standard Version. Pray that I may unfold it as I should. That's Moffat. Pray that I would arrange the message, that I would present the message just the right way. This is God's truth, after all. Herbert Armstrong really worked hard to present it plainly so that everyone could understand, so that everyone could know the mystery of the ages. Read it sometime. Study it. That was his final work, his masterpiece. Read Mystery of the Ages, the mysteries about the true church, the mystery about the kingdom of God, the mystery of God, angels, evil spirits, the mystery about Israel, civilization, and on it goes. Study through that book and see just how plain and yet powerful the presentation of the truth is. God's truth, it sets us free. It really does. It says in verse 5, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And let your speech," verse 6 says, be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Be a refined Christian. Be a doer. Live this word. Let it show in your speech, says Paul. And then fast forwarding to the end of chapter 4, he says, "The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen." Beautiful message written from jail. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can send us a comment, td@thetrumpet.com. td@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.